I'm going to be speaking today on the topic of don't be afraid to stretch. And I'm going to have my glasses off because I need them for distance. So I'm not going to have them on to see you, but I'll be able to see better what I'm looking at. So I may not see you as well as I want to. Amen. But I may have to grab them here and there. Amen. Don't be afraid to stretch. Church, God is looking for someone that will say yes. Yes, I surrender. I surrender all to you. Too many times our word has been maybe, I don't know, or I think about it. And when it comes to the will of the Lord in our life, even when we're committed, it's only halfway based upon how we feel. Amen? Somebody know what I'm talking about. The word of the Lord from our pastor is that this is the year of exaltation and vision. Exaltation means the action of elevating someone in rank, power, or character. And vision means the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. And as we exalt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, in this church, and I'm not just talking about this building, but the church in our hearts, God will make changes in us that will exalt us in life and further the King of God, the Kingdom of God in the earth. God wants to grow us up from who we are, and in some cases still we're that person occasionally, so he can show us things that are to come. Church, I'm saying sometimes God has to grow us up to be able to understand. Otherwise, he can't tell you something that you don't understand. So sometimes he's got to train you on how to receive it so you know how to deal with it once you get it. So God wants to grow us up. Too many things we've not seen because if God would have shown us, we would not have understood. God does not get the glory out of anybody's confusion, anybody's discord, anybody's murmuring or complaining, but the enemy does, and the church suffers. God has grown us up to be mature in spirit. So whatever he puts in your heart to believe can come to pass or come to life through your work in ministry. When I talk about ministry, it's just not the ministry of the church. We forget sometimes that ministry is in our home and it's necessary. We're the minister on the job wherever you work. You're the minister wherever you go. You're the minister in the grocery store. You're the minister at the subway. Wherever you go, you are the power of God in that place. We need to know that because, see, sometimes we forget. We get in a place and we're looking for somebody else to move when God called you to move. You're to move in that situation. You're to pray and believe God that whatever you pray will come to pass. We are the church. You bring the power of the Almighty God with your presence. Somebody need to get that in their spirit. Wherever you go, you bring the presence of God. Wherever you go. Sometimes we say, well, I ain't going in there. Sometimes you got to go in there for God to get in there. But in these past weeks, I have spoken about moving forward. Last week, opening your eyes to see. But all this comes through our maturity in faith. This week, God wants to speak to us about don't be afraid to stretch. Because sometimes, church, that's the hardest thing to do for us, is to stretch, to get out of your comfort zone. It's easy to work where you used to and do what you used to doing. And then getting what you want. But sometimes when you don't get what you want, you get uncomfortable. And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't have said when we are uncomfortable. We act certain ways. But sometimes God moves you to an uncomfortable place so that you can see what's been hiding inside of you. Because see, sometimes it's not very pleasant, not to you or maybe even to somebody else. But see, God's not showing you that to hurt you. He's showing you that to help you. He's saying, this is what's left. That'll move you further, but I got to get you past this. So when you begin to do other things, nobody will be able to see that come out accidentally. You know how you working sometime and you hit your foot or you hit your hand and we preaching and teaching it, and then all of a sudden something hit us and hurt us and we cuss. And they get real quiet because everybody was shocked to hear it and you didn't think it would come out. But sometimes we have to be careful with who we around. Because sometimes people cuss and they say, he cussed like a sailor and she cussed like nobody's business. But they cuss so much, if you're not careful, they'll fill you up. And you'll be saying what's gotten into your spirit. It's like when I hear people murmuring and complaining, I get away from them. I don't try to encourage them. I get away from them because, see, that thing get in my spirit. And then sometimes somebody else will say something. That's the first thing I start doing. So when I hear people doing it, I know that's the spirit of discord. I don't need it. If I'm trying to grow in the Lord, I'm trying to get around somebody who's going to make a deposit in me. I need somebody to put something in me that's going to help me to grow, help me to move on, help me to make better decisions. So I can't deal with it. I don't know. Some of y'all might can deal with it, but I can't deal with it. I don't have time for that because God is too good for me to complain. Too good. But church, in times past, some of us, if not at all of us, including me, have resisted God stretching. Fought the stretching off because we didn't want it. Or we were too busy wanting to know why, then surrender to God stretching. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, it says, I, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, he's exhorting and encouraging you to work worthy of the calling which you were called. See, calling is not just preaching. Calling is what we all have been called to do. It's to teach and to preach the word. You may not have an audience, but I always believe the most powerful sermon ever preached is preached with one person and one other person. See, you're the powerfulest preacher anybody would ever know if you sit next to him. People will never know God sometime unless they sit next to you. Sit next to Reverend B, if you will. You're going to know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, you come into the Lord or you come, you're going to get some prayer. But see, that should be the spirit that should come up inside of us anytime we come around anything that could almost be or considered evil. Something ought to rage inside of us saying, I got to do something for the name of Jesus. God has called us for moments like that. Something should be rising up inside of you. But you should be walking worthy of the calling in which you were called. And then it goes on to say, with all lowliness and gentleness. See, sometimes, church, we don't know how to be gentle. You don't have to be all aggressive with people. See, sometimes you hurt people trying to help them because of your tone, because of your voice. I know there's a interest sometimes, and we want to make sure that you understand the urgency, but I don't want to hurt you while I'm trying to help you because then you shut me off. So we got to be careful. And it goes on to say, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Long suffering is a powerful word. And it means just what it says, suffering long. See, sometimes people are not just going to come in the beginning. So they're going to continue to be the same person they used to be. and you can't get tired. Long suffering means sometimes you got to let them continue to be who they are. I just got to keep praying and I got to keep planting and somebody else in water and I'm planting and watering. We could go on for a long time, but sooner or later, the Bible says that God gives the increase. Don't be looking like you got the rescue. It's all up to God. We ain't that type of people where your touch is always going to clear up everything. See, but it's the touch of God. That's why we have praise and worship. When I come in this place, I might have all type of stuff on my mind. But when I come in, I try to get alone for God. I ain't thinking about who on the left. I ain't thinking about nobody on the right. I ain't even thinking about what's good. So I close my eyes. I don't want to see you. Because I myself may be distracted. But see, the whole thing is that you're trying to lead me into the presence of God. It's not about I want you to see me. I want to be led into the presence of God. Because see, if you worship God just right, not only will he bless you, he'll come down and bless all of us. That's what I want all of us to get it. Lead me into worship. I need worship to clear my mind to be able to hear the word. See, sometimes my mind is so cluttered. And it's the worship that opens me up to receive. That's why praise and worship is so powerful. And yet sometimes some people make sure they get there just in time not to get the praise and worship. I can't live without the praise and worship. Otherwise, I'll be thinking about something else while the word is coming, and I'll miss my seed. So praise and worship, we need it. Church, we got to get here. Praise and worship should be packed just like this. We should be in here. But endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Church, whatever we're doing, we need to be making sure that we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of the peace. We should not be trying to wreck one another. We should be making sure if I think I hurt you, I'm coming to you. Because I want to make sure that we still have the bond of unity working in this church. It's nothing that one person can do by themselves. We've got to do it together. But we can't do it injuring and hurting people. So we got to make sure if someone, we even thank someone. The Bible says if you bring your gift, that you put it down on the altar. If you think your brother has an ought with you and you go and make well with your brother, then you come back and give your gift. Church, some of us, we just hurt folk and keep right on going like it ain't nothing. Oh, that's between them and God. The devil is a liar. That's between you and God. You need to make it right even if you think they got ought with you. You want to make sure. Because there's power in unity. Whatever you do by yourself, if you get connected to somebody else. The Bible says where one may cause 1,000, two may cause 10,000. Just imagine, church, if we was all on one accord in this place. The devil wouldn't even be able to come on this street. Not alone in this building. He wouldn't even be able to come on this street. Just when you drive on this street, the devil ought to start going the other way. They wonder why he's showing up in other churches. Because we're here. The devil already know he's bound in this place. Because we are all in the same spirit in here. And we got the same mind. We all have the mind of Christ. Yes. Then it goes on to say, there is one body and one spirit. We are all one, church. One. Just as you were called in one hope and one calling. One hope and one calling. Church, we all got the same calling. Your job might be different from mine, but we have the same calling. And my calling don't work if it's not connected to your calling. We are all connected to do the same thing, the same work. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, in you all, meaning us. And I'm going to say something, church. When you come to know the Lord and you give your heart to Jesus, the next step is baptism. That's an outward expression of what's going on inside you. You should get baptized, church. So if you have not, you need to talk to one of the deacons, because you need to get on the list to get baptized. You want to make sure that you go down, because Jesus went down first and he got up. He got up speaking in the spirit. There's some other folk that went down and come up speaking in tongues. I didn't do that. But I got baptized twice. I got baptized the first time I got saved. And then when I went back in the world, when I came back to the church, that's the first thing I did, was I got baptized again. I want all this stuff off of me. I want to come into Christ and to him to give me a new mind. I'm starting out all over again. So I got baptized twice. So some of us need to be signing up. We need to be baptized. That's the next step. And then we need to be seeking to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because we need power. So I'm looking to have a powerful time at the next baptism service. Amen, church? Amen. But in all that you have gone through, God was growing you up, or he was maturing you, to open you up to a greater capacity of him to handle more of the work of the ministry of the kingdom. See, when I say maturing, when you was a child, you thought of the child and you did childish thing. But the Bible says when I became a man, I put it all away. I stopped playing. See, that's the one of the things in this society today. You got grown men home all day playing games. Woman come home looking for a man and she got a child sitting there next to the other kids. And he ain't even paying no bills. He waiting for you to get home from work. But you got to put away childish things. See, sometimes it's the kid in us that keeps us from maturing. And then God does things in you to help you to mature. And sometimes those are happy things when he's trying to break you out of kiddish stuff. He's trying to bring you closer. I didn't learn how to pray because everything was going right in my life. I learned how to pray because I was hurting. I learned how to get close to God because I was hurting. And the more hurt he put on me, the closer I had to get some relief. So I don't pray because I'm some nice and tidy, cleaned up, loving to pray. I prayed because I was hurting, church. Stuff was going on in my life that I didn't understand. Like you, I couldn't control it. I wanted to stop. And praying was my only outlet. I'm tearing up because it was only the grace of God that I would get and receive during my times of prayer that would give me relief. But even though I was getting relief, God was pouring in power. See, sometimes in order to get something, God got to do something to you. And sometimes, I heard a guy say one time, sometimes God is looking for a specific sound. So when life starts happening to you, at first it's all murmuring and complaining. We all do it. And it continues to happen. Then after a while, we started to learn that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loosen. So we move on and start doing greater things. So that's a level of maturity. See, sometimes we don't understand what's happening. It's all God is doing is maturing you up. And when he gets you ready to go to the next level, you've got to meet a new devil to get past him. But God was adding another level in you to hold more of him. We sing the songs, we want more, we want more. And God won't give you more than you can handle. But sometimes, in order to get more, we must go through more to demonstrate that we can handle it. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. What is he saying? Somebody else has gone through it too. You're not the only one, and you won't be the only one. But God is faithful. He's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. See, sometimes, church, you need to look at what you're going through instead of complaining and say, Lord God, I'm able. I'm just enough for this situation. This situation was handmade just for me by God because I'm able. You got to tell the devil sometimes, you can do it, but I'm able. You can do it, and you can do it as long as you want, but you can't do it unless God lets you. And if he lets you do it, I'm able. You got to let him know. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. See, there have been times when we could have handled things differently because God made a way of escape, but we didn't take it. We did our own thing, our own way. But in every situation, God has given you a way of escape. In our situations, circumstances, issues, and problems, God was drawing us into his way of escape. See, sometimes the only way we get out is the way we know how to get out, doing what we know to do. But God has a way of escape. His way of escape. Not how we felt, what we wanted, but his way of escape is always according to the word of God. God just wants us to want the word of God. Have you ever had a situation and you just wanted the word of God in it? I've had a lot of situations, and a lot of times the word of God is the last thing that I try. Sometimes we do, y'all being honest, sometimes the word of God is the last thing that we try. Sometimes they say when it don't work, read the directions. When you put something together, you got half the screws. You don't put, I done it a few times where I done used the long screw where I should have used the short screw. Then I get to further along where I'm looking for the short screw and realize I done used the wrong screw in the beginning because I know what I was doing. So then I got to go back and take it apart because it takes me longer because I missed the process. See, everything that you do has a process. Some things that you go through, you have to go through a process. And sometimes in that process, you've got to do the work. And when you don't do the word, it won't work. You can't pray yourself out of anything. Many times I've cried, but in my crying, I've learned to cry out to the Lord. I may start out crying in pain and pity, but then I move up to another level where I'm crying out to the Lord. And then another level where I begin to pray in the Spirit. Because there's still another level. When I pray in my own understanding, I'm saying how I feel. I'm saying, Lord, this is how I feel. This is what I need. Can you do this? But when I pray in the Spirit, it ain't got nothing to do with my flesh. I'm saying, God, give me what I need to get me through the way you called me to go through. See, a guy told me one time, he said, I'm working on getting to where I'm going when I make the plans in the beginning. Because we make plans in the beginning to go over here. But somehow, by the time you get to where you're going, you're not where you wanted to go. But he's saying, I'm working on how to make my decisions in the process to keep me on the path. God is being a light to your feet and a lamp to your path, and we still act like we can't see. We all over the place. Because of how we feel. When some animals grow or mature, they shed off their old skin. Reptiles and snakes and some other animals. Only to reveal the new growth. Anytime the new growth has come, it must shed off the old. But see, sometimes, church, it's painful. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what we forget, church, sometimes. When all things have become new, that means we aren't doing the old things anymore. See, sometimes people are still think you're the old person because you're still doing the old stuff. And then it goes on to say, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, church, that's a big one right there. Reconciliation. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I'm done with you. Don't say nothing to me. You can go. We ain't doing this together. I can't be a part of this business. I don't want that. Because there's no reconciliation. The Bible says that God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And if we in Jesus Christ, he has given us the reconciliation as a ministry. Our ministry should be reconciling stuff. That'll preach right there in a whole different direction. But Christ is no longer flesh. So church, we should no longer be living according to the flesh if we in Christ. When we became new, all old things passed away, whether it was last week or whether it was yesterday, it's passed away. See, some folk will still call you what you used to be because it was yesterday. But you got to tell them, I'm a new creature. All things have been passed away. Behold, all things are new. But see, you better been telling them the right thing. See, you can't be still doing the old stuff. Talking about, I'm the new creation. You can't tell them that every time you messed up. You got to forgive me because I asked God to forgive me. I'm a new creation. You might be a new creation, but you're going to be sleeping on the couch. But church, what am I saying? Meaning we shed that skin so that we would not be putting, God ain't putting no new skin on top of the old. Who would want to put a new suit on top of the play clothes? The sisters ain't putting on no new dress on top of no old outfit. She wants you to know that she looking good and she's smelling good and she walking like she good. But if you ever see a person with a brand new dress on with the tag still on it and it's on top of something that's smelly old, something wrong. That's a lot of confusion in there. You better be prayed up before you even get near a person like that, because they might be ready to fight already. But the Bible tells us in 2 Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, church, if we're hidden in Christ, how do we sometimes do certain things? Because Christ's not doing them. So if we in Christ, how does that thing get in us? If we are new creation, we should be shedding off the old skin. If you're shedding off the old skin, how are you still caught up in the old behavior? Somebody said thank you. They know what I'm talking about. But in all that we have gone through to endure for God's glory. See, sometimes you don't realize what you're going through. You're about to glorify God. But you don't have that mindset going in. But you need to have that mindset going into a situation. I'm about to glorify God. Because he's about to show himself mighty in me. But see, in order for that to happen, you got to stay in the process. And you got to stay in the process God's way. It was for the shedding of the skin of the old man. God grew us up into Christ to receive the ministry of reconciliation. And see, some cases, we weren't mature enough to handle it. So God had to grow us up through handling our flesh. What am I saying, church? Some things God does and allows situations. Well, he don't do it. The devil does it, but God allows it and uses it to mature us. But he allows it to happen to our flesh to mature us. He's not just going to hit you with a magic wand upside the head and all of a sudden you change. God got to grow you up into it. Because see, once you mature into it, you know it, and it doesn't change. Not only do you know it, you can teach somebody else. But until you can teach somebody else, you're not mature, and you've not grown up into it. If I got to tell you every time, you're not mature. See, some Christians, you got to tell them every time, don't do something. Or everybody at one time or another has been told not to do something. But then when you constantly keep doing it over and over again, you're not mature. That's just like a child. Some of us have children, and you know what it feels like to tell somebody something over and over again. And you know what? When you beat them, and some of us do, why I got to keep telling you this thing? Ain't that what we say? Why I got to keep telling you to say over and over and over again? And every time you say it, it's a something. You tearing him up. That's how kids learn that windmill. Because they remember you tearing him up. But telling a child something, oh, and that's how God with us sometimes. He'll bring us to a situation and we'll do the wrong thing. And then all of a sudden, here it come again. Here it come again. And you wonder why I keep coming. Why does this keep happening to me? Because you didn't learn what you were supposed to learn the first time. So I don't ask God to take me out of a situation. I just ask him to be in it with me. I want to make sure that he can lead me through it because I'm listening. So instead of running out of something, we should just take our stand. If God gave it to me, he's going to bring me through it. If he brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. But see, sometimes what happens to us is when we have to wait. I know a lot of good Christians pray and something happened and they jumping for joy and all over the place. But let a couple of weeks go by. How you doing? Oh, I'm all right. Bless the Lord. I'm blessed. You see them people, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, what's going on? And then they go through a whole list of stuff. My God, didn't you just say you were blessed? See, sometimes that's just rhetoric. That's just something. They say God is good, and automatically everybody know to say all the time. But then life is a whole other different thing. Because you've just learned to say that. You haven't really experienced it and been able to say it in the hard time. You got a whole list of, oh, God is so good, but I tell you. What did you just tell me? When you're going through something, nobody shouldn't be able to look at your face and know, not as a believer, because God is too good. Because see, if somebody else was in that situation, they wouldn't even be feeling how you're feeling. God might have taken, the situation have taken them out a long time ago. But you're still here. And you're not giving God glory. You just say, well, God is maturing me up. Glory to God. And he's always good. And he's always available. See, that's the thing. God is always available. Just like, you know, we got that caller ID. Oh, Lord, not her. I already know he's looking for a loan. He's looking for a loan. I ain't picking that up. But that's your brother. Oh, no, don't pick. I'm not picking it up. Let him call somebody else. I hit the back end. Let somebody else get the front. Because that's usually the heavy one. Well, if you don't pick it up and you let him call somebody else first, he say, well, all I need is $100. Somebody else done already gave him the $500. But see, if you pick it up first, you already know he going to hit you with the big one. So you let it go. I wait. Mm-mm. Don't pick it up, baby. No, don't pick it up. I get him next week. So he might even say, you call it back. Oh, I already took care of it. No problem. Amen. You know, I didn't get your message. You're lying and everything. You know you looked at that thing. And you seen it. But see, sometimes we aren't mature enough to handle the reconciliation. And some of us in the kingdom still rebel against reconciliation today. In marriage, we refuse reconciliation. We refuse reconciliation in families. Some families don't even speak. You have a cookout. Certain families already, they weren't even called and told you was having an event. Because the reconciliation ain't in the family. I'm good with you, but I ain't good with you. No, they can't come to my house. They got them bad kids. And that's how we get sometimes. And even we don't even have reconciliation in the church. Yeah, some folks don't want to talk to some other folk. They walk right in the door and see folk. And as soon as they see them, they turn act like they was here in the bathroom. They just didn't, and they done hugged everybody but you. That spirit of reconciliation ain't in them. But the devil is a liar. And we bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Because we bonded together in the spirit of unity in this church. But church, that's why divorce is such a powerful tool of the enemy. All because it is a written agreement signed by two parties and a judge that gives them the authority not to be reconciled by the word of God. That right there, get real quiet. But God, who is our supreme authority, hates divorce. Because by it, we have gone to the world to override God's authority over us to be reconciled. But let me tell you something, church. However, that signed paper with the government seal and the three signatures won't separate the spirit of the two parties. That'll get quiet too. Because the Bible says only death separates the spirit. So what God has put together, let no man separate. I'm not going to read the scripture. You read it on your own time. But you can go to Matthew 19:5. I'm going to move on. I'm not meddling. But in Matthew 6:19, it says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment for the patch, because it pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskin bursts and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put the new wine into new wineskin and both are preserved. See, you can't be the old man looking for the new spirit. And that's the problem sometimes. We ain't changed, but we looking for God to do the new thing in an old thing. And that ain't God. Even the world know that you the old thing by the way you act. You tell me, oh, God is so good. God is this. God is that. And every time they see you, you at the water cooler talking about somebody. That ain't the church. And that ain't you. Because we bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Sometimes, church, we got to learn to walk away. Even though we're drawn to it by nature, because I'm going to tell you, gossip sound good sometimes. You got to be honest with yourself. That thing, is that's ear itching. It sounds good. So you got to learn sometimes that even when it start, you got to walk away before they get to the good stuff. So when somebody comes, did you hear about so-and-so? Nope, I ain't heard a thing. Glory to God. I ain't heard it. And when you walk off, you go to praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what's happened or what they done, but God used it to glorify your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Break that thing up. So folks be out there doing whatever they... Man, let's... Hold on. Here comes so-and-so. That's the spirit you want right there. I used to go over to my brother's house years ago. You know, he's here now and working powerfully in ministry. I'd knock on that door, man. I'd be tearing that door down like I'm the police. And it'd be like 10 or 15 minutes before he comes to the door. I come in there, they done cut the lights on, open all the windows and everything. They sitting in there, everybody looking at me. But I tell you, I come in there, I sit down, I go to talking. And you know how everybody feeling like, man, it's...
is he going to hurry up and leave? I can feel it in the air. Like, man, would you go ahead and go back and go to somebody else's house? But I just sat there for a minute and then just talk and just have a good time. And then finally I give up and, you know, and whatever happened, happened. But sometimes you got to be Jesus in that place. You got to walk in and just be the light and stop all that darkness. You can go back to darkness when I leave, but it's going to be illumination in here while I'm here. They be cutting the lights. So before I come in, the lights be out. They be cooling up with just little lights here and there. After that, you know. But we need to make sure we're the light in every situation. Let folks, when you come in there, treat you like you the police. Yeah, man, how you doing? How the car? How the family? Well, I'm going to lay down, man. What you going to do? You ever got that? Amen. You get saved, you get it. I mean, really, really saved. I'm not talking about where you save and they still get them a cold one and then come back. Man, you want one? I'm not talking about that saved. I'm talking about that real saved where they sit down and bust a cold one open and you sit there like it ain't nothing and start talking about the Lord. That's that uncomfortable drink. You know, I remember I wanted to enjoy my drink and my cigarette. He done come up in here and made it uncomfortable. Put the lid back on the thing, put it back in the refrigerator. I'm not going to drink no more till he leave. I want to enjoy it. I've been waiting all day for that one. But we got to be the church. You know, y'all laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But we got to be the church. We got to be the church. But see, God has grown you up to fix you. Wow. Because your patch, what you went through and what you was doing was making the situation worse. And God had to put the new level of his spirit into you, so he had to grow you up and mature you to handle that level of spirit. Man, I'm making good time here. I want to go to a scripture in Mark 11. And I want to look at verse 12. Start to skip a little bit faster so we can get y'all out of here. Enjoy this Sunday. That's Mark 11, starting at verse 12. And it reads, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it." We're talking about Jesus here. "And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. But in response, Jesus said, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And the disciples heard it." Church, some of us, or I should say all of us, have come out of that same situation. Though our simulations and affiliations and our meetings together in the church, and we were believed to be the church, but as the life and the world and other things happened, in our demonstration to Christ, we had no fruit. Y'all get what I'm talking about? With all the church we got, with all the Holy Ghost filled we got, as soon as something happened, we were missing. We couldn't handle it. We went the whole other way, murmuring and complaining. We wasn't praying, standing on the word. We wasn't praying in the spirit. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about but in time past. We've all been there, so we know what it's like to have no fruit when we're supposed to have fruit. The leaves indicate that the tree had an appearance. It's like it had on the uniform. If you go to a stop and you see somebody in a police uniform and something happened, you're looking for the police. You ain't looking for somebody dressed up in a uniform. Because they had the uniform, they had the appearance. And because they had the appearance, you gave them the authority. But could not stand to do the work. We all talking about in this season, I'm in that season. But see, this scripture, this whole thing right here was talking about the church. Because Jesus is saying, regardless of the season, whether or not it was the season for reproduction or production, but Jesus said,
He expected fruit. So, church, what I'm saying is, Jesus accepted no excuse. Because in verse 13 it said, it was not the season. So even though it was not the season, when he went to it, he expected to see something. So, I know you say, well, this ain't my season. No, it's your season. We get like, oh, I'm in season of this, I'm in the season of that. I'm going to tell you something. It's in the season for you to be bearing fruit. I don't care where you are in your life, somebody should be able to get some fruit out of you. Just because you're going through, they shouldn't come to you and we the church. Hear the world coming to us and you, oh, man. Yeah, I got this going on, I got that going on. They come to you for prayer. Where is your fruit? We got to come out of that, church. God is growing us up to a certain level of maturity because he's about to dump something into you. God won't give you that power until he knows you can handle it. Y'all watch the old Sweat West sometime. And when we was growing up, we had them gun holsters. And, you know, some guys could, you know, spin that six shooter. That's, you know, they could handle it. And then you, some people get one and their mom and the daddy ain't never bought them one. It's their first one, so it's falling all over the place. But see, this is your third or fourth one, so you slinging that thing like you know what you're doing. You got to know what you're doing, and you got to know how to handle it. You got to be bearing it. This is my season. Come on, devil. This is my season. I'm ready. Always be ready. Because in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, it said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Whoa. So that means we should always be ready. Folks going through, they coming to you, and you talking about this is your season of celebration. They calling for prayer and you tipsy. You don't have a, I don't have a problem with you drinking, but when I call, I need God. I don't need you to be betting all up in the place. All over the place because you tight and you just got done turning up. The world looking for the church. And if you turning up with them, who they going to go to? They looking at you like, man, they knocking that thing down. I wonder if they, you know, how they going to be in the morning, tomorrow, Sunday. But we got to be ready instant and out of season. Preaching the word. And then it goes on to say, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire. That's how we get sometimes. It's according to how I feel. They're looking for somebody because they have itching ears. I'm looking for somebody that's going to say whatever I need to hear. Not the truth, just say what I need to hear. See, sometimes I just need somebody to confirm me into my way. This is my way and I need to be confirmed in it. No, I'm going to confirm you in the truth. The devil is a liar. And I'm standing with the truth. Even if it makes me a liar. Only thing true is God's word. If I'm not lining up, I'm the liar. In every situation. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But it goes on to say, but you be watchful into all things. Then it goes on to say, endure afflictions. See, Pastor Paul right now is enduring an affliction. See, some of y'all, your affliction can't last more than 2 or 3 weeks before you give up. I called him, word about him. He's saying, brother, don't you worry about me. Preach the word. He was worried about the mission of the ministry during his affliction. He said, God got it. Preach the word. That's what I'm telling you, church. Be watchful of all things. Endure afflictions and do the work of evangelists. And what was he telling me? Fulfill your ministry.
and all you do, honor God. God got everything that's going on in our lives. But don't you let anything going on be a reason not to fulfill your ministry. I don't care what you're going through. Fulfill your ministry. The devil is a liar. Devil, you can turn it up, but I'm going to fulfill my ministry. You better be doing what God called you to do. Because if you're doing that, he got the devil. But if you're worried about the devil, God can't get your thing if you got it. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. You can't cast your care on God and you cast them on Brother Teasley and Brother Peter, Brother John. You casting your cares everywhere else. But it ain't a care. You casting worries. How you going to go to God with a care when you done carried worry all over the place? Got everybody worried about you. God said, cast your cares upon me. And if he got it, you can keep moving. Look at Brother John. He's looking good this morning. He's going through what he's going through, but every time I see him, he's looking better and better and better. I've seen folk in this church going through things. Things that will cause most people to crumble. I've seen them look crumble for a minute, but then the longer I look, the better they start to look. Because they digging in. They saying, devil, God got this thing, and I trust him. And because I trust him, I'm not worried about a thing. The Bible says, cast your care upon him, and he care for you. And because he care about me, I ain't got to worry about a thing. That's money in the bank. You ought to be looking better and better and better. I know he left, but you should be looking better and better and better. Woo, you should be glad he gone, because look at what's coming now. Don't be afraid to let that joker go. I'm going to be honest, I did it, and I found my good thing when I let that joker go. I said, come get all your stuff. And Christine had called too. She said, well what's that? What happened? I said, yeah, I told her, come over here and get all her stuff. Christine got in the car, and she got over there right after she left. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm glad that Christine didn't get over here. Woo! You talking about World War III. But I said, get all your stuff. Take it all. But see, that was supposed to be a reason to reconcile. But see, God had other plans. Now I take it all. I don't need nothing to remember me of you. Because I'm doing a new thing. And it's good. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not married, you'll know one day. But don't rush God, because I don't want you to get no garbage, because there's a lot of it out there. And don't lower your standard just to have somebody, or you're going to have a mess. Don't do it. If you ain't got God, you ain't got me. And don't pluck him up too soon just because he's in church. Let him get some roots. Because if you come too soon, he'll leave God and just it'll be all about you. And that'll be good in the beginning. But after a while, you'll know he ain't got God. Because of how he's treating you. All that's free. But you will know. God said when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And obtains the favor of the Lord. Let me let you on a secret, ladies. He said he finds a good thing. Not a good time. If you're a good time, you'll be a long time waiting on a husband. You'll be a lot of people's good time. But notice the Bible said that she was a good thing. So guess what? He didn't make her a good thing. Don't be looking for no man to make you. She was a good thing before he met her. And because you a good thing, he'll wait on it. If he don't wait on it, he ain't worth you. And obtains the favor of the Lord. See, some folk getting rid of their good thing. And they wonder where their favor went. Oh, trust me, it's leaving. But God has grown us up to handle this new level of ministry. God has elevated you in rank and power and character. What am I saying? God has elevated you so he can give you something to do something. God has given you the ability to think about and to plan the future of the kingdom with imagination and the wisdom of God and a new level of faith. faith will not produce what has not been planted in your heart through the word. I'm going to say that again. Your faith will not produce what has not been planted in your heart through the word. We are now at that level, church, of believing to see what has been shown us in the word. It's got to be in the word, church. You know, a lot of folks running out here with that name it, claim it stuff. But if it ain't in the word, you don't want it because it wasn't from God. Sometimes when you just show up stuff that ain't in the scripture, it's just a distraction to get you out of what God was doing. Soon as they get that new thing, you don't see them no more. Where's so-and-so? Man, you know they got that new car and that new house. Wow, I ain't seen him. He was teaching, but he left. See, that's what happens sometimes. Just make sure that what you're doing, make sure you stay in the word. Make sure you stay in ministry. God gonna bless you. He gonna take care of you. But you want to always make sure you're honoring God. Always in what you do. Because I would rather God owe me than anybody else. But in Mark 11, in verse 20, it said, "Now the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For I surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart." Church, too many good people have not got what God wanted them to have because they doubted in their heart. Don't talk yourself out of your blessing just because it's not here when you, you wait, it ain't always going to be tomorrow. You ain't always had that tomorrow power. The microwave work like that, but God don't work like that. Because if he worked like that, you might not be able to handle it. Sometimes God got to hold it until you can handle it. Because if he gave it to you right then, it'll mess you up. Some of you wonder why he ain't here yet. Because if he came, it'll mess you up. And if you just take the one that just come, you're going to be messed up. Some of y'all can figure that out in a minute. But believe in those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them. And you will have them. Church, we got to believe when we pray. See, we got people that doubt. So, I don't want to pray with you if you doubt. I pray for you. But if we're trying to get God to do something, why am I going to let you come in here and doubt me to death? Don't let nobody pray for you that you know doubting. I love you. We're going to walk together. We're going to do stuff together. But when I'm praying, I don't get my hand. I'm looking for somebody that just got a little bit of faith. God said, all we need is a mustard seed. That's it. All you need. So you can't be dealing with, don't be murmuring and complaining and then grab my hand. That's not going to work. And it shouldn't work with you either. But have faith in God. Having faith in God is always demonstrated. Let's look at quickly Matthew 9, verse 18. And it goes on to read, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples." You know, I wasn't even going to stop here, but this is a powerful scripture here. This is faith right here in action. I don't know about you, but when somebody is sick, you say, Pastor, come on, I want you to pray for so-and-so. Because I need you to pray for them because they're sick, that God will heal them. But he came in and said, My daughter just died. His daughter died, and he got up from the bedside of a dead person and went to get somebody to pray. Now, that's faith. When was the last time somebody, I'm coming, I'm going to pray. Oh, you ain't got to worry about it. He just died. The devil is a liar. He said, my daughter just died. But will you come and pray for her? That's faith, church. Where's our faith? God is the God over the living and the dead. If you think about it, some people died because you didn't pray for them. I'm not talking about died. I'm talking about they died and then you didn't go and if I can get in there before they roll them out of that room.